bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you again for joining us on this journey of creating a just society right where we are. With the tools that God has given us and the experiences, life experiences that God has given us. Now, today I am going to give you the secret to success in social justice. Now, it is a very deep secret that few, quote, social justice warriors know. This is why many social justice projects end in defeat. But today, you are the lucky ones. You get to learn the secret to success in creating a just society. And what is that secret? Prayer. In my decades of serving and defending the lowly and organizing neighborhoods to create justice, I have learned that without prayer, I can do nothing of lasting value. So today, we are going to learn what prayer is, and various ways to pray so that we can actually go deeper into social justice. We're going to talk about a couple things here today. What is prayer and how to do it? How do you pray? So let's talk about what is prayer. Prayer is a participation with God. Prayer is a participation with God. It's not something you do so much as something you journey with. I remember seeing in a church bulletin one day a cartoon that made me laugh. This one guy was standing out in the entryway of the church, and he said to himself, "Oh no, here comes Bob. I told him I would pray for him, but I forgot. Dear God, help Bob. Amen." And then when Bob walks up, the guy says, "Hey, Bob, been praying for you." Well, you know, it doesn't quite work that way. Prayer is not just an exercise you do. Rather, it is a participation with God. It is a way of communicating with God, not just verbally saying things to God, but rather allowing God to speak into your life and into your soul. And so it's a participation with God. You are not, and hear this out, you are not doing the work for God. You are doing the work you're doing with God. So prayer gets you in alignment with what God is already doing. God does not need us, okay? God doesn't need us. If God needed us, we would have existed forever like God does. But no, we came into existence at a certain point in time. And God existed long, eternally before we did. Why? Because God doesn't need us. God, rather, is inviting us to join in with what He is already doing with or without us. He's giving us the opportunity to join in this awesome adventure. So first of all, prayer is communication with God. In other words, in that word communication is the word, root word you see there, communion. It's a way of communing with God. When two people are in relationship with each other, they not only just talk to each other, but they need to just spend time together. And sometimes, maybe while driving down the road or whatever, they may be communing in silence. And silence is okay. Just being in each other's presence is enough to build unity between them. So prayer comes in many forms, and we'll talk about that in our next point, but prayer is communication with God, but it's not so much communication always in words, but communication spiritually, our spirit communing with God's spirit. Prayer also is lifting our thoughts to God. The simple act of taking your eyes off of the immediate and the physical and thinking of God. So I've been trying to practice this a lot more recently, where I get busy, I'm in the middle of the day, and I catch myself focusing too much on this life. And so what I'll do is I'll just lift my eyes and then close them and allow my thoughts to drift to God. Not saying anything, I'm not asking for anything, I'm just simply changing my focus. shifting my focus away from the immediate towards the eternal. And then finally, prayer is listening to God. So prayer is participation with God. It is communication or communion with God. It is lifting our thoughts to God, and it is listening to God. I would say this is the bulk of prayer. Too much talking on our end. God wants to hear us. God desires to listen. But mostly prayer should be our silence, listening to God. The saints discovered this, the desert fathers, the mystics all discovered that the deepest part of prayer is our silence, listening to God. Now, how can you do the work of social justice without receiving direction? Right? At my job, when my supervisor is talking to me, it is not wise for me to talk over my supervisor. Rather, it is wise for me to be quiet and listen to get the direction I need to do my job. And it's the same with the work of building a just society. How are you going to do it if you don't know what the directions are to do it? What the blueprint is. So how do you do that? You be quiet and you listen to God so that God can give you direction you need in a given moment. Always, and I do mean always, start any work of social justice with prayer to listen and receive direction, then act. Don't even think about what you're going to do. Rather, with an open mind, listen first. Mother Teresa made sure that the Sisters of Charity did this. The sisters that worked with her, she required them to begin the day in prayer and with Mass, attending Mass. Why? She said, it is impossible to do the work effectively without first being filled with God and listening to God. So they had to, I think it was 2 hours that they had to spend in prayer and attending Mass before they were allowed to begin their work for the day. You got to start with an open mind, come to God and say, I'm helpless. I know you've called me to do this work of justice, but I'm helpless. I'm weak. I'm tired. Some days just be honest with God. I'm kind of cranky today. I'd rather be lazy. Whatever. And allow God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and to give you the strength and wisdom and direction you need for the day. So let's jump to how to pray. That's what prayer is. But how do you do it? Now, there's several ways to pray. Prayer isn't always, Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. No. It's unfortunate that we've reduced prayer to that, by the way, because if that's your prayer life, you're missing out on 99% of what prayer is. So there's several ways to pray, and one way is meditation. Meditation comes in different forms. I mean, it's not always one way or one method, but meditation is the calming of the senses and the calming of the mind. I mean, we get excited, right? We get filled with anxiety, and when we get filled with get anxious, then our mind goes off in 100 directions. But as one person said, meditation is the calming of the monkey mind, that monkey mind that jumps from tree to tree. Meditation is the exercise of slowing down, calming down, maybe beginning by regulating your breathing, sitting down, and just allowing your mind, your thoughts, and your senses to calm down. St. Ambrose talked a lot about the calming of the senses. St. John of the Cross also talked about that. So we don't just need to calm our thoughts down and get our mind calmed down, but our senses, because we get agitated, we get excited, anxious, and all these things, and we need our senses to calm down and stop getting in the way as well. In meditation, in that silence of meditation, we're letting go of our personal agendas so that we can embrace a higher order, the infinite divine order. Meditation is the receiving of love. Now, how do you meditate? Well, there's all kinds of methods to do it, but simply stop. Okay? I could teach you all kinds of ways to meditate, but simply stop what you're doing and allow and sit down. Turn off all sound, television, radio, whatever it is. Silence your phone. Put your phone in a drawer and sit and calm down. And take time to just be completely present and allow your thoughts to float away. Allow your blood pressure to come down. Allow your senses and your mind to slow down so that you can get to a place, and this is what you're doing in meditation, you're getting to a place where you're completely present and silent before God so that God may draw you in deeper and invite you deeper into His love and His light. So that's what happens. Now, after you get good at meditating, Thomas Merton said, then you should be meditating in the flow of life. In fact, Thomas Merton said something like, the person who can be meditating in the midst of a busy city is better than the monk who meditates in the monastery. In other words, he's saying you should get to a point where you're always in a spirit of meditation. You're always in that space of being calm and listening to God, no matter what you're doing. So meditation is one way to pray. Another way to pray is silent listening. Now, silent listening is a little bit different from meditation because meditation's the stopping of activity, whereas silent listening may be the stopping of activity, and silent listening can happen in meditation, but sometimes you may be on public transportation, driving down the freeway, and you can still be silently listening by not having the radio on, by not, whatever, not having your thoughts running 100 miles an hour or whatever. So silent listening, just always being in that mode of, you know, and sometimes it happens during meditation. By the way, if you go to adoration before the Holy Eucharist, in that moment, don't have an agenda. Allow Christ to set the agenda in that moment. So silent listening, just saying, God, I'm here. I'm, again, tired. I'm confused what to do next. I'm kind of lost. So I'm going to be quiet now. I need you to do the talking. And you'll be amazed at what you hear from God. So meditation is a setting aside of myself for God, whereas silent listening can happen in the flow of life again. Another way to pray is reflective reading of Scripture. So not just reading Scripture for reading's sake, but reading Scripture in a reflective way. When I go, sometimes when I go to the Trappist Monastery here in Oregon, I'll stay for Vespers, I'll stay for the evening Liturgy of the Hours. And it's interesting to me, the monks, they'll read Scripture and then they'll sit down quietly for 5 minutes. Can you imagine sitting silently with the monks for 5 minutes for the purpose of reflecting on the Scripture that was just read? You know, and there's ways you can get books out there. You can, you know, probably listen to podcasts or whatever. I'm not aware of any. Right off the moment, I didn't look into it, but there's ways to practice reflective reading of the Scriptures. But really, as James reminds us in his letter of James, that it is eternally valuable to read the Scriptures and then reflect on them. He says it's of no value to read the Scriptures and then walk away, because he says that's like the man who looks in a mirror, sees himself, walks away, and forgets what he looks like. So James says we need to look deeply into the Scriptures. In other words, reflect. Read the Scriptures and then reflect, what is God saying to me in this moment? Another way, which is one of my favorite ways of praying, is through the Liturgy of the Hours. Now, the Liturgy of the Hours is an ancient way of praying. In fact, we see it in the Bible. In the book of Acts, it says Peter and John went into the temple at the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. It says that there. So obviously, Peter and John practiced a 3 hour time period or scheduled times of prayer, and they went to the temple to do it. So the Liturgy of the Hours is an ancient way of stopping every 3 hours to pray. The monks do it. People who have, traditional jobs, have to go to work, have families take care of, are encouraged to do the morning and evening prayer. However, there's also the office of readings that takes place. You can do it the night before you go to sleep, or you can do it first thing in the morning, but then you've got the morning around 6 o'clock or whenever you wake up. And then you've got the 9 o'clock, the noon, 3 o'clock, and evening prayer. What it's doing is causing you to stop every 3 hours a day what you're doing and get your focus back on God. Okay, and allow God to feed you, and then get back to what you're doing. And it's interesting to me because I realize even though 3 hours earlier I did this practice, by now I've already forgotten about God. I've already gotten distracted and messed up at 3 hours. So it's good. It's a good habit to get into and try to follow the 3 hour rhythms. But if you can't, again, morning and evening is what is suggested for lay people. But the Liturgy of the Hours is chanting either three psalms or chanting or praying through two psalms and a canticle from the prophets or from Paul's writings. It's also at certain times of day praying through or chanting through Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, his canticle to God for the birth of John the Baptist. It's also praying through Mary's canticle of praise to God for the birth of Jesus. It is also not just the chanting of psalms and canticles. It is the reading and reflecting on Scripture, and then it is also a time to pray for certain things. So the Liturgy of the Hours, very powerful way of praying. Petition. Petition is just simply asking God for something. And petition doesn't have to necessarily just be a dear Heavenly Father, da 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 da, in Jesus' name. It could just be, say, God, I need help right now. God, I need strength right now. God, I need some clarity right now. You know, it's asking God as a child to the Heavenly Father, Father, I need something right now. Petition. Petition is a powerful thing because it humbles us. It puts us into that space that Jesus calls us to, that space of childlikeness. And then breathing out prayers. I try to practice this. Breathing out prayers is where you quickly breathe out a prayer for someone in front of you. So you see a homeless person. Say you're driving down the road to an appointment. You see a homeless person on the sidewalk as you drive by. You can't stop at this moment like you might normally do, so you just breathe the prayer, Lord, may your grace flow to that person. Or you watching the news, you hear of a tragic death, and you say, Lord, I pray for that person's family right now, for the repose of the soul of that person. Just those prayers that happen in the cycle of breathing. This type of prayer, the breathing out prayers, is when there is nothing you can do in the moment except just say a quick prayer for someone or something. This type of prayer keeps you in constant contact with God. And then the ultimate prayer. What is the ultimate prayer? It's not the Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, rather, that prayer is included in the ultimate prayer, but the ultimate one is the Mass. The Mass is a long prayer that begins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and ends with go in peace. So it is a prayer that begins with the Trinity and ends with the Trinity, as we are blessed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is a prayer, the Mass is a prayer that includes reflective listening to the Scriptures, confession of sin, praying for others, seeking the prayers of the saints, unifying with Christ's passion, and receiving Christ in the Eucharist and so on. It is a prayer that unites all believers of all time so that we are inspired and strengthened for the journey ahead. That's why the priest at the end of the Mass sends us out to go do the work now that we've done this prayer called the Mass, so that now we are strengthened for the journey ahead. Now, let's end today by asking the question, why prayer with social justice? Well, first, it forms you into a person of love. Love is the place from which social justice flows. To put a sign that says Black Lives Matter is not an act of love. Serving and willing the good of all peoples of all cultures, however, is an act of love. So prayer forms us into a person of love. If you don't have love, God's loving you, really hard to do the work of justice. Second, prayer develops wisdom in you. Wisdom informs you what the real problem is and how to solve. And this is where what's lacking in a lot of modern social justice movements is they're lacking in wisdom of what the real problem is and then how to solve it. That's why we're not seeing solutions like we would like to. You cannot divorce the work of social justice from God, who is wisdom. Third, prayer helps you to truly see the situation and the people. To really see deep into the situation, really see deep into people. And again, when you're a person of prayer and you encounter people suffering injustices, you can see that they are created in the image of God rather than here's another human who's in a thing and I got to solve it. No, prayer takes you deeper. Prayer also creates a balance in you, so that you are not too soft or too harsh. And in the work of social justice and charity, we can become too soft, where we're too benign. We're not really confronting the issues as they should be. But sometimes we can be too harsh and judgmental, especially as the years go by. So what prayer does is it keeps us in that balance. Next, it connects you to the source of true social justice, which is God, who is who? The God of justice. So prayer connects you to the source. Next, it gives you strength for the long road ahead. I'm telling you, the real work of social justice is a tiring and exhausting and maddening process at times. And what prayer does is it gives you strength for the long road ahead. Next, prayer is the water for your burnt out and thirsty soul. Yeah, it is the water for your soul. And finally, prayer develops joy in you. You should be experiencing joy. I don't mean happy, happy, happy joy. I'm talking about true, deep joy, that settled joy. Prayer develops that in you as you do the work of justice. Now, if you've ever seen the movie RV with Robin Williams, you may remember a scene where Robin Williams is filling the RV with gas. He sees the dreaded McCormick family coming and drives off with the gas hose still attached to the RV. You see him driving quickly away with the gas hose hanging out of the nozzle. He did not get the fuel for the RV he needed because he disconnected from the source of the fuel. Now, as funny as that may be, how often do we disconnect ourselves from the source of real justice, God? Then we wonder why we are going in circles. Let us go deep into prayer, connecting ourselves to the God of justice as we, in cooperation with God, create a just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.